Well, let me ask you what, if any particular faculty members stand out in your mind over others in terms of their contributions to perhaps extension or to their political interests or anything that stands out in your mind. Any faculty members that for some reason or other, you mentioned Norris before. Why don't you mention that?
And, well, all right. There are faculty I remember, yes. Norris Tibbetts is one. He was acting chairman at one time, and I thought he did a good job of that. Of course, I remember Ozanne. He was a different person.
Do you have any stories about Ozanne? Anything anecdotal? Anything that stands out in your mind about him, since I assume you worked a lot with him?
I worked a lot with him, yes.
Anything funny? Any funny stories? Or
I don't remember anything. Well, I don't. It was often. I wouldn't say funny, often humorous, but I don't know that I remember any stories specifically. You asked the question of the political leanings of the department. I made the comment. I noted political leanings of individual faculty members, but I didn't know. I guess I didn't note that the department itself ever agreed on a particular left or right political position. Some of the faculty members were involved. Weren't they involved early with some of the student?
Well, I was going to ask you about that. If there was anything that
I don't
remember much about. So apparently, it didn't have that much of an impact at all on whatever they did. It didn't affect their relations with extension.
No, well, they had a perfect right to do it. But I don't remember. It wouldn't. That should not interfere with their extension function, and it didn't. They had a perfect right to do it.
Along those lines, did you ever get complaints, you personally, from, say, employers or state legislators about the work of the school or questioning the work of the school?
No, I didn't. And what was interesting, in the years we had meetings with that committee, the labor unions committee, mm-hmm. no one ever complained to me, at least, about the program. I think they felt they were a part of it when they participated in those kinds of meetings.
Well, I was thinking of maybe an employer in a small town, a school for worker, comes in to set up a class and something, and the employer gets upset.
Never had anything, no. I heard of those, but nothing ever came to me.
Well, who would get the complaint? Who would they complain to? Then? Did they complain?
Probably they would go to the top.
So that'd be the president of the
president,
or the chancellor.
Or the chancellor, more than likely the president. But they would go. That's where they would go, to the chancellor.
And you, none came back to you.
Nothing ever came back. If they got it, I imagine that the president or someone else would refer it, but no one ever referred anything to me. The school for workers were, as far as I know, was never in trouble politically. Mm-hmm. That they represented too strong a political force to do much with, and as far as the legislature and others were concerned. At that time, the unions did have some power. Mm-hmm. So that made it different, I guess. I had a secretary one time come down complaining about Bob. Uh-huh. She wanted me to know what a terrible administrator he was with her. But I sent her back.
What was her complaint?
I don't remember the specifics. She just complained about his the way he did things. That may have been legitimate, I don't know, but it's difficult to deal with. There wasn't a great deal of that there, but there was some of that in various places.
What would you say was Bob's strongest? I think he served as director probably the longest of anyone while you were dean. What would you say was Bob's strongest suit?
I think his strongest suit probably was a tie to labor, which helped him as much as anything. And he hired faculty who, well, Norris was there a long time. He was a good faculty member. I think he hired faculty members who understood what they were about and what they were trying to do. Those were strong suits. Mm-hmm.
Well, hiring people, mentioning hiring, mm-hmm. They didn't necessarily go after people with degrees.
No, but were very many available? Were they not going into economics departments on campuses?
Well, was that unique in Extension, that people in other programs hired, say, people with, a master's or not even, or...
Most of them were,
So you had a music program or something.
I don't think any of the engineers, for example, had masters. I think they were all undergraduates with some experience in business and engineering before they came in. You get into other areas, like nursing, they of course did have a degree. Mm-hmm.
Because of licensing?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And some of the other academic areas, like history, they had masters and PhDs. I think it sort of depended on the discipline.
Well, practical is practical experience. I don't know if it's fair to make that kind of distinction between academic and extension, but was since extension usually dealt with people who had practical concerns, I guess, was that a conscious effort in terms of hiring somebody with practical background as opposed to academic background, or a combination?
I think that Extension tried to hire people with advanced degrees as much as possible, but both the market and the needs of Extension dictated that someone who could put the PhD to some kind of practical use in a program, not teach an academic subject as such. Mm-hmm. It's just the nature of Extension. When you're a nurse and what you're trying to do is take 40-year-old women and get them back up to a level where they can be hired and participate as a nurse, it's a different job than teaching them academically about nursing. It was just the nature of the business. You were always talking about program, rightly or wrongly.
Is that still true in Extension? Well, you're out of Extension.
Do you think
that's still true today? That I know, and I always, in terms of the school, there was always an effort to try to get people with degrees, with advanced degrees.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if that was just because the school wanted status,
or
whether there was pressure for.
Well, the problem after the which wasn't the problem. The merger should have helped upgrade the faculty, because you're not going to get a professor's assistant or associate professor rank if you only have a 4-year degree in the main for most disciplines. Mm-hmm.
Couldn't Extension have a separate, obviously they took the academic side. In other words, Extension couldn't have set up its own criteria for
it. It could and tried. It had to. It was, I'm not sure it was the best development. When you moved to the merger, we had co-op Extension. Now there were, how many counties? I don't know how many counties there are.
Yeah, a lot of them.
Whatever there are. There was an ag agent in each county, and there was a home economics agent in each county. There was a 4-H youth in each county.
Right.
Okay. Now I had the 4-H and I had the home economics. But those people were almost exclusively with bachelor's degrees. They were thrown into a faculty setting where they had to go through the same process as the PhD. And they were always at a disadvantage. I think in the end, what happened is they got the tenure position because of the position they were in, rather than the publications or any other criteria. So, you know, it turned out to be, I think, beneficial. At the same time, there were some anomalies in the whole thing, in the whole process.
But you really do you really need an advanced degree to do all this work that or a lot of extension work?
No.
You know, it was just an effort in a lot of ways, with the merger and the attempt to make it a more academic setting, I guess.
I don't think that politically the university administration could have set up an entirely different system and said, now these are professors according to another criteria. I'm not sure that would politically
have gone. Yeah. Because I know many programs in other states, now I don't know if they're set up through extension, like the equivalent to the School for Workers, those people really don't teach. They have no academic standing.
Yeah.
You know, if they get a program, then they go get a teacher to teach. And I guess that would have been an alternative, but I don't think it would have fitted. I know the School for Worker people wouldn't have been very happy with that kind of...
That was done in some areas, too. In arts, for example, they would hire a painter to teach a painting class. It was done.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think some of the, like School for Workers, it probably isn't a very good idea. Painting is a little different, but School for Workers, you don't want to lose academic control of what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't think that would work in some areas.
Okay, I think this is an extension of what we're talking about. We're talking about the merger and the changes. And you mm-hmm. mentioned the Green Bay campus, came with that. Well, how come it took, I guess, this merger was in 66.
Yeah.
It was more like 78 before anything went on the Green Bay campus. Why do you think it took so long to get something? Was that true with regard to other programs to attempt to put them on the campuses, or was this just unique?
Well, it was true and it wasn't true. But some places it moved well. I do not know the specifics on School for Workers because you were on the campus before you come into our division, I think. Didn't you come in? Who was dean when you come in, do you know?
You.
When you come onto the campus?
Oh, when I came onto the campus.
Green Bay.
Well, when I came to Green Bay, you were the dean of extension, and I guess the position just started. It was, one of the problems was they wanted somebody with some, I guess, who could teach in their department, and that required a certain academic standing, I guess.
I faintly remember that, but I don't recall being in on those discussions. Sure, Pulver didn't start a lot of that?
Well, this was set, we're talking about 77, 78, 1977.
I don't know when... School for Workers came in on our division. I don't know the date. I do recall.
Well, maybe I'm wrong. I mean, my recollection was you were the dean, but maybe not.
I could well have been. I just don't remember initiating anything with Green Bay. I remember the discussion of where a person going there would fit into their academic program. I remember that part. But it seems to me that some of that must have been started before. It must have been all at about the same time.
You're saying the negotiations started?
I think there must have been negotiations before. I do remember that now that you mentioned it. But I don't recall discussions with Green Bay on the issue. I must have had some of them. But that was always a problem, and particularly with School for Workers, it would be a problem.
Well, what would you mean having somebody on that?
Find an academic home for someone who claims that my specialty is labor education.
Yeah. Well, it was my understanding that that Green Bay pushed for this. It was Green Bay, particularly the chancellor.
Well, I'm sure it was the chancellor. He pushed for everything. I'm sure that's true.
But he didn't negotiate with you then.
No, I didn't negotiate with him. That's the reason I wonder if some of that didn't take place with Pulver.
Oh, okay.
Now, I do not know either how active Ozan was in that effort.
Okay.
That I don't know.
Okay.
He didn't indicate to me any opposition, but I'm not sure he wholeheartedly accepted that approach.
Yeah, well, what he told me at the time is that they wanted the position really in Madison. They wanted a position and they wanted it in Madison, but the word they got was, if you want a position, it's going to have to be in Green Bay.
I don't recall telling him that. I don't think I told him that.
He never said who did.
Maybe that's the reason he and Pulver disagreed. I don't know.
Okay. Well, maybe it happened at that. You became, what year did you become the dean then?
66.
66.
But you were at school for work.
Yeah, but they didn't get anybody in Green Bay for another 10 years. I wonder what happened in that,
period
of time.
I don't know. No idea. I don't recall.
Were you involved in any way in the effort to set up a program? I guess it was a credit program at Parkside, University of Wisconsin Parkside.
For what? School for Workers?
Yeah, it was to be a jointly run credit program.
Nope.
No, none of that discussion. Yeah, it actually, I think, took place in the 80s, but I just wondered if any discussion had started.
Not that I know of. It may have started, but I didn't get involved.
Weren't involved.
Nope.
Okay. We talked a little bit about, you also mentioned, I was talking about the Friedrich Center, and you mentioned that you weren't in on the negotiations on that either, right?
No, that was before. Well, that was, no, I wasn't, not specifically. You don't know what date that was, do you?
Well, they already had it when I came, so that was 78, so I don't know, maybe 75, 76,
I think it must have been earlier than that. I remember that, but seems to me that was even back to Shannon's time. When that started,
discussions. Yeah, I'm sure the school wanted.
Well,
space was always a problem for the school.
Yeah, but that was started a long time ago, way back. I remember. I remember going at some point and looking at the facility, but I wasn't involved in that. I think it started before. Before that. It was a good move. It was a good thing to get it.
You mentioned the Labor Faculty Advisory Committee.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody on that committee stand out in your mind? Any particular individual on that committee that you served with on that?
John Schmidt. I had more dealings with him than anyone else.
Well, what kind of dealings would you have with, what would they be?
I mentioned the chairman thing as one. Mm-hmm. I would just talk with him occasionally about the program, what's going on, those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
You could call him at any time. So that was the one I dealt with mostly. The others, They were fairly constant, although some of them changed. Mm-hmm. But he was constant. Is he still living?
Yes, he's in Florida now.
Is he?
Yeah. Somebody suggested I interview him.
Be a good idea. If you could get him, you might have to go to Florida.
I don't think so, but maybe maybe we can work something out.
Telephone or something.
Yeah.
Well, he had a lot to do with school workers during that period. He was there quite a while.
Was he supportive of the school? Was he interested in the school?
Oh, yeah. He was supportive. He never, to me, made comments about individual faculty, but he was supportive of the school.
Did Extension use his clout in the state legislature for budget?
I don't think Extension did as much as the central administration did. There were some dealings with him in the legislature. I think a major portion of that was at the central administration.
Mm-hmm.
None of us will know exactly what that was, unless John will tell what it was.
Yeah, well, maybe so.
Yeah.
Well, how would you describe the job of dean? What was the function of the dean of Extension?
Yeah. The function at several levels, two levels. One was the academic level. And one was obviously the budget level. How do you manage $25 million against a high income requirement? The other was the academic level, where you met with faculty. You encouraged faculty to talk about programming, the kinds of programs that they might do, the kinds of things that look to me like ought to be done. Faculty would come in at budget time and he'd have a list of things. And I knew the list was longer than they expected to get. So I just sometimes made specific decisions on programs. All right, let's go with that program. Or let's go with one of those two programs. Which do you think is the best program? It was a constant give and take program.
Mm-hmm. Well, so for example, Bob Ozan would come in with maybe a request to hire an additional faculty member?
There occasionally was that, yes. The first question is, what kind of income would they produce? How can you support it? If we put 75% in, can you support the other 25? Well, in school for workers, mostly no. I think Bob came in with less program discussions than most. Some people, I recall medicine coming in with a list of three or four top new priorities they wanted to work on, and we chose two of them, and that later developed into the distance learning. The whole mm-hmm. distance learning mm-hmm. thing, the medicine started that,
mm-hmm.
those kinds of things.
Well, when the School for Workers, I guess a new initiative was occupational safety and health, but I guess they got outside money, so that would you...
I remember some of that, yes.
Now, that would be the kind of thing you would be looking for.
Yes.
I don't know if that money was self-sustaining.
I don't know. I don't know either. But yes, that would be it. And then sure, you move on it, especially if you can get some support. But that's the way the whole Extension program was created. It had to be created by faculty, and it had to. I think it had to have a dean who was willing to allow faculty to use their best judgment on what to do, what kinds of programs to develop, knowing what they knew about their audience and potential audience and what the problems were.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way to deal with it. I think it's greatly different than an academic dean usually on a campus would contend with.
And that, how different? In other words, what does an academic dean do?
I don't know what academic deans do.
But you're saying he doesn't have that balance.
He doesn't have that balance. He doesn't have the income requirement. He has to. Yeah, I think there's obviously all kinds of problems, but program-wise, in history, the history department decides what they're going to teach in history. Although they may ask for extra faculty, he may have some of the same kinds of things, but I don't know that he has the on-the-spot budget decision, we're going this way or we're going that way. I think it's that in other words, they're not creating their own program in the same sense of extension.
Well, the school, the school could expand in terms of what it taught. It taught basically very similar kinds of classes, but it could, if it had more faculty, perhaps, and I guess maybe this is what you measured, they might be able to teach more.
Yeah, they could teach more, yeah. I think the school was perhaps locked into a curriculum more than many of our other departments. That I'm sure was true.
Yeah, the labor movement had specific needs.
Yeah.
Law, collective bargaining, certain, engineering, industrial.
Yeah.
And it struck me that it's if we had more faculty, we probably could expand it, but you'd have to make a judgment. I guess that would be your judgment to say, well, if we did expand, really would there be that many people more to teach? Would it generate that more income? Is that the kind of...
That's the kind.
Kind of thing.
But the some of the curriculum in some units was fairly stable, and others that did vary. Engineering would introduce a number of new things as time went on.
Mm-hmm.
But you might expect that because of engineering developments. But collective bargaining is collective bargaining.
Yeah. Do you have any idea of how the programming for the school changed, if it did, over the period that...
My observation, it didn't change a great deal.
Well, say the portion to summer school to the winter community classes and things of that nature. Were you interested in that? That mix, or is it just total number of classes?
No, I don't know about the mix. I don't know what you mean there.
Well, the school always, if it started first with the summer program.
Oh, yeah.
And then it added the community classes, and that always became... But over the years, that mix changed. I think that maybe the summer program declined over the years.
Yeah, that was my impression. Yes, but I don't. I think that was the market and the school for workers that I wasn't involved in any deliberate attempt to reduce the summer program.
No, but how would you define? In other words, if you were allocating, I don't know, did you automatically allocate to the School for Workers the same sum of money each budget time? Or did you, unless they wanted some sort of an increase, try to justify hiring somebody?
I think their budget was constant, fairly constant as any of the other units. It didn't change much except for merit increases and supplies and expense costs as those costs went up, but slightly increased tuition in order to cover the costs. The faculty members remained about the same.
The numbers, you mean?
Yeah, the number of faculty. And I don't recall any great push to increase the faculty in university extension. I don't...
The faculty, as far as the faculty, the numbers were close to about the same.
Yeah, they were close to about the same. And Lausanne certainly never pushed for a large increase in faculty, or even, I don't recall, individual faculty. And neither did George. George wasn't in there that long. third is only 3-4 years. Mm-hmm. When I left, I don't know how long he stayed afterwards.
Maybe through the 80s, I'm not sure.
Could have been.
Would there be any contrasting to it? Was there any department that really had a lot of new initiatives going, or would just new initiatives mean another department be set up?
No, new initiatives were in engineering, women education were always new because we didn't have those before.
Those were new departments
set up? Yeah, new departments. The women's was, yeah.